Welcome in Thursday edition, Robbie Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rex Show, Jake Lyman in for Robbie Stanley, Ian Safar producing. Make sure you hit us up on the game and phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025, even though I've been iced out of it. But Jake Lyman will be manning it, so we'll see if someone can bail me out, throw me a life preserver here during the show and get me into the text line. So this is a good time to, if you really want to, you know, swear at me without retribution, this would be the time to do it. Nice Tigers hat, Jake.
Thank you.
Even though they've lost 9-10, and I'm starting to really freak out about them.
They've been horrible lately, but that just means they're going to take 3 of 4 from Toronto this weekend. I'm talking myself into that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, 162 games. These things happen. You know you're going to have a bad stretch. What are we looking at for trading deadline? We about a week out?
Yeah, a week from today.
Today is the trading deadline?
Hopefully Tigers can get things back on track, add a few pieces. They're still 8 games up in the division, which it's been cut in half quicker than I would have liked it to, but I'd rather have a stretch where you lose 9 of 10 in July than in September.
Yeah, but clearly they need to add something. And I know that you all were hoping that we would talk a lot of Detroit Tigers baseball today.
Yes, so that's what Nashville was waiting on.
Hey, I mean, we talk about Milwaukee sports all the time on this show. So, I mean, why can't we talk about Detroit sports, right?
Exactly.
We do have a move from the Titans. We'll get to that on the edge. We'll get to that here soon. We have some possible guest movement around. We do have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports back now this week after summer break, so that'll become a weekly thing again. But of course, at this time of year, what happens with Charles is he's like, I'm at Raiders camp, I'm at Patriots camp. So I don't know where he is. But we may have to move him around a little bit from his normal 8 a.m. slot today. I'm going to fix the college football playoff with my friend Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal at 7:30. Best and worst in sports, a Rex rant on the Titans media policy, which is really interesting. And we're going to start with the Titans, of course, Jake, and day one of practice. And I guess the thing that stood out to me from – like the overall commentary on day one, and I just don't remember. I guess I don't necessarily remember this as a typical thing, but there's just a lot of talk of how it was just sort of like a lacking in energy practice. I mean, I talked to Connor yesterday, and I know I heard him on the air, and I actually talked to him when I did the rigged Jared versus Joe last night. And that's what, you know, he said, like, that's basically, it just really was very blah out there. I mean, it's practice, but it also is the first practice. So I guess my question would be, like, is that concerning? And again, I don't remember either, like, on first day, so like, oh, my God, the energy was amazing. I mean, you just expect there to be energy, right? And, of course, Cam Ward actually use the word, quote, mid. I don't know if we have like an actual. Yeah, let's hear Cam Ward.
How is your scoreboard out there when there's no wins or losses? How do you measure progress here during training camp?
Everything is always measured off a win or a loss. Practice is 80 plays a day. That's a whole game. We were mid in practice today offensively. But, you know, it's first day. You get better every day. And, you know, we just got to, you know, try and just repeat, you know, and not stay the same. Just try to get better.
So there you go. First of all, I like the word mid. It's a, you know, it's your generation kind of mid, sketch, sus. What else do we have? You know, it's like words that you can shorten some words and they become cooler words. So I do like that. So I don't know. Is that a worry? I think right now it's like anything with the Titans. It's like you're just going to probably default to, yeah, it probably means bad things. So maybe people are overreacting a little bit. But it's just an interesting storyline for a day one of a training camp.
I don't know if I'm concerned. If they had come out and everybody was saying, man, they had great energy level, I don't think that would have changed my thoughts on the team as a whole.
Sure.
Yeah, otherwise.
It's not going to change your overall prediction or anything.
But you would hope day one that the team would come out firing and ready to go. And I believe you wrote on the grid today, jacked up. Would be a good word. Like, you'd think day one, everybody comes out ready to go. And clearly that wasn't the case. But it is just day one. They didn't have the pads on yet. Like, it might be tough for those guys to go out there when it's 7-on-7 and all that kind of stuff, and it's not real football yet. But, yeah, I think you would have liked to hear better things out of practice yesterday. It kind of felt like, and I wasn't out there obviously, but based on what I've heard, it kind of felt like the whole thing was just kind of underwhelming in terms of a first day of practice.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, these first days of training camp, they are pretty boring. You're not hitting yet, so
right,
and you're doing a lot of, I mean, you're doing like 7-on-7, and you're doing some team stuff, but I mean, it's,
how long were they even out there? Like a little over an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, about an hour and a half. So yeah. I don't know. I guess I'd be interested. Every once in a while, you'll see, and this certainly happened, like in Vrabel's tenure. You know, he'd be real mad about a particular practice, and he'd say something about that. You know, and he'd kind of go off. And this happens around the league. So sometimes that'll be like a headline during training camp from a team. I guess it's just like the first day. You know, first day you expect. You just don't expect it to be a topic, right?
So yeah.
What are you smiling about, Ian?
Well, no, I was just thinking, like, I heard some people talking about this yesterday. Derek Mason on DVD, he said the same thing. Practice lacked energy, seemed a little bit, lacked some juice. And I was just like, well, the day before, you have your GM and your president go out there and pretty much tell them that you're playing this season as a wash. This season is a wash. You're pretty much just playing out the schedule, trying to get better, and you're not going to win anything. And as a player, you're like, okay, so here I am starting the season, and I got to go the whole season. We're not expected to win any games. The GM and the president pretty much told us we're not going to win any games, and I got to play this whole season and hope to not get hurt and play super hard knowing it's for nothing.
That's interesting.
That's a good point.
Well, yeah. I heard Chris also echoing that sentiment when he went on with Jared yesterday, and
I buy it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I do.
I mean, that's a long season to go if you're a football player to know that it's going to be how it could go.
Yeah.
After last season.
Yeah.
And expecting a repeat.
I guess to me it's kind of like these are professionals. And I'm sitting here because obviously this means that I'm taking Jared's side of an argument, which hurts. I don't want to do that. But because Jared, you know, and Chris were kind of going back and forth on this a little bit. I don't know, man. I hear you, but also aren't you somewhat, as a professional football player, are you so dependent on, I want to hear my GM say we're going to be awesome.
That we're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
That's the thing. It's like, I mean, you know, again, so this Big Joe's causing all these troubles. You know, Big Joe caused the problem by asking about the Super Bowl. I mean, again, it's like, I mean, the initial reaction was to laugh. And, like, let's say you went through the entire locker. Because, I mean, we all know this is not a Super Bowl team. It's not close to Super Bowl. If anybody on that team, I'm not saying you should be like, yeah, we suck, we're going to lose every game. But, like, if anybody on that team is thinking of, like, actually entertains, like, Super Bowl ideas, I think that they're delusional. So if you went around the whole locker room, and Big Joe, well, I think we should do this. We should send Big Joe to every single player and ask that question. And then see, there will be some guys like, heck yeah, we plan to win every game. But there might also be some guys saying, you know, I'm just trying to get better every day, blah, blah, blah.
I can see that could be something that would affect them. At least the day after. Right. Like
day one practice. I don't know. To me, I would be a little bit down as a player.
You've got 6 months ahead of you, and your GM basically just said, like, yeah,
You could be cut at any time. We're going to constantly transition over the roster.
Right. The bottom half of the roster is going to be churned. Like, I can see how that press conference didn't add a whole lot of confidence to that room. But also, I agree with you, Joe, that they're professionals. Like, is it really ruining the morale in the locker room that Mike Borgonzi said, we have a lot of work to do on this roster? Because it's not like he outright came out and said, no, we're not going to win the Super Bowl. He just said,
that is it, that goal that, every year. That's the goal that is a goal. We're going to try to win the thing. Okay.
I think it's probably a stretch to believe that that actually is the reason for a mediocre practice, but like, I don't know what else it would be. I guess we'll see what they come out looking like today. Alex from Montreal on the text line says, so anytime someone told me I wasn't going to do diddly, I had to listen. Life doesn't work that way.
You could respond the other way. I mean, get mad.
I'm sure there
get even.
There probably were some players who were affected by that, but the whole team, I'm not sure that that is actually the reason for that. I'm sure it was just, you know, there are practices that are like that throughout every single season, but it's only a talking point because it was the first day.
It's the first day. Exactly. I mean, the dog days are the dog days, and there will be other practices probably that have that similar level of energy, and it's probably fine. But, yeah, the first day is the first day. Look, I mean, I totally subscribe to the theory that and it's a very different thing than just saying, yeah, you know, we suck. But you know, when Amy fired John Robinson – I absolutely believe that a team that I think would have handled the Jacksonville Jaguars lost in part because, like, that's just such a jarring thing. Again, that's a jarring, oh, my God, what is happening versus, really, dude? But, I mean, I guess there's some parallel you can draw there.
Yeah, not that I think the Titans that year would have made a run in the playoffs. That team wasn't good enough to do that. And obviously Ryan Tannehill
But they win the division if they win that game.
I think if you don't fire John Robinson that year, the Titans win that division probably by a couple of games. I don't think they've finished the season on a 7-game losing streak. But, you know, obviously there were outside factors there too.
Right. Now, there was a counteracting voice saying the exact opposite to these guys this week too, and his choice of apparel was also a topic on this here station. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome in, back in. Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman in for Robbie. The Stanley's enjoying Disney this week. Maybe Universal? Is it just Disney?
I'm not sure. I got distracted by Jake's hat.
Distracted by what?
Jake's hat.
We went backwards hat for this segment.
You know what? That is a great idea. And I actually was going to do that, too. I was going to bring a hat in today, and it would have been awesome.
I wore it for this specific reason.
In tandem.
But, yeah, man, Orlando for the Stanley family now. Somewhere. Orlando. Yeah, maybe the beach, he said, too. Try and sneak over to a beach. He wasn't quite sure.
Say, there's no beach over there.
But he said the resort had multiple pools.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be okay.
That'll be fine, yeah. Multiple pools. And, you know, Allie, probably a little older, I would think, when you want to do the Universal thing, right? I would think.
Probably.
A little bit. But they have stuff for little kids, too. So they're having fun. And I guess we're going to have fun now because Jake Lyman has turned his hat around. Well, first of all, let's listen to Brian Callahan's speech to the team. This was tweeted out by the Titans yesterday.
The energy that I felt when you guys came back in the building. I feel your confidence. I feel your excitement, right? Our execution, our effort, and our elimination of sins, right? That's the Titans trio. You want to see execution, you want to see unbelievable effort, and you want to see a team that plays a clean brand of football. Those are the things that we're focused on. What I get motivated by is the way that you guys came into work today. That's what motivates me. That's what gets me excited because I know what we have in this room because I believe in what you guys are capable of. And when you come in a building and you wake up in the morning, that's what should get you going, is that you know you got a group of guys in here that have put a ton of time and effort into it, and that we're going to be a team that plays hard and makes life hell for any team we play, because we are capable of being a damn good football team. How many days until we play our first game? Anybody know? 47 days. So we should feel the urgency every time we walk in. It should be urgent as we have to make each other better every day we step out.
All right, that was Brian Callahan, as tweeted out by the Titans yesterday. So there's the speech part of that we can get to. Do you have any of Little Stilly like screaming about The backward hat?
Not currently.
Yeah, that's fine. We can just paraphrase. He screamed about the – I think he tweeted this out, right? I mean, I've muted him on Twitter years ago, but I think he tweeted out when Tom Landry wearing a backwards hat with Nick Saban wearing backwards.
It is hilarious. And that tweet went viral, obviously, because most people probably didn't listen to the segment. I didn't listen to exactly what he said, but the tweet being wearing a backwards hat, Nick Saban wouldn't do that. Bill Belichick wouldn't do that. It's like, well, Bill Belichick wore like sleeveless hoodies.
Yeah, Bill Belichick. Yeah, you talk about looking like a slob. That's one of the words Jared used. Like, he looked like a slob. You want to talk about looking like a slob? Belichick in some of those sweatshirts. And obviously Dan Quinn, as anybody who follows the NFL knows, every game he wears a backward hat to coach in the sidelines. I mean, I think Robbie, I think tweeted or sent that tweet to me, right? To you and me, and I think so. And, you know, it's like, is he 95 years old? I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, so this is like, again, this is sometimes with Stilly, like 4 hours by yourself. Like, this is a great example of, you know what? I need a half hour out of me screaming about a hat. So, fine. I will say, the speech is like, it's just, I don't know if cringe might be a little strong, but it doesn't seem natural at all.
It
felt
very forced. The inflections.
And you got your hat on backwards?
Thank you.
I know.
Thank you.
I don't know if I should be allowed to speak. Did I lose all credibility by turning my hat backwards? But it felt forced. It did. Like the little yelling of, and I believe, it felt a little bit over the top. And maybe Brian Callahan did something like that because he knew he was being filmed, and there's been talk about, is he holding people accountable? Is he fiery enough? And it came across a little bit forced.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's not that wouldn't be, you know, an example of holding anybody accountable anyway. It's just someone raising their voice artificially to try to get fiery. And again, you want people to be pumped up. You're a football coach. It's still football, so I don't know that we'll ever totally lose that. You know, when Brian Callahan was hired here, one of the big topics at his press conference, and I forget who asked him, but it was there was a moment when he was OC with the Bengals when he completely melted down and screamed at everybody because he was genuinely pissed off about something. You know, everybody gets there, right? Anybody, even someone who's like laid back and young and kind of chill like Brian Callahan, everybody can get there. He actually got there. So that was an example because, again, it was like a contrast to what you see on a normal basis. But I guess I don't know what all these coaches – you can go through the league. There are other coaches that are similar to him in personality.
For sure.
Do they feel the need to like, and I believe, and, you know, again, it's like you are totally forcing yourself to do this. Lop on the YouTube chat says, why does this speech sound like it was written by AI? The words were fine. Like what he said was fine.
Right.
It's a fine message. Let's go. You know, it's a first day. It's just like the inflection definitely seemed is unnatural. It just didn't
right.
seem, you know.
It didn't seem like he was just.
Just be you, man.
Exactly. But you're right. You look around the league like. I'm sure Mike McDaniel is probably the same way. Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan. Like, all these young guys aren't going to be Dan Campbell, Bill Belichick, like that kind of guy who it's just natural for them to, you know, light people up.
Well, and Dan Campbell, obviously, I mean, his speeches now have become the thing of lore. And I mean, that's just, he was like, oh, man, you know, I tell you what, man, you do it. I love you guys so much. And that's just who he is, right? I mean, I don't like. I'd be surprised if Belichick, because I don't even like. Did we ever get any behind the scenes stuff with Belichick? I guess we might get some now.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully not too behind the scenes.
They're doing a Hulu series or something like that.
They finally are. It was canceled, and
then they brought it back.
But I mean, like, I'd be surprised if obviously Belichick's gruff, you know, tough. But like,
he's not Dan Campbell
speech like
yet.
That. But yeah. Even a speech like we just heard from Brian Callahan, to me, it's just like, guys, let's go, do your job, get your ass out there, let's go. Right? I mean, it's you know, I don't. It's always interesting. Like this, basically the theme of the show today is like what motivates the football team and what should it matter? Right? Like, should it matter that a GM was asked about a Super Bowl when we all know this team is miles from the Super Bowl, and he kind of laughed, and they were just like, what? Like, now all of a sudden the team has no juice because of that? I mean, I think it's an interesting point Ian brings up, but I also, like, I have a hard time excusing that, you know? I think that's kind of weak. But,
yeah.
But, you know, then you also have – now you have this. To me, a head coach in the NFL, the players and the coach – yes, the coach coaches the players. There's a hierarchy. But really they're coworkers. And so, to me, what matters to these players is that they think these coaches are smart and actually put them in position to win, right? I just don't think it matters that much about some speech. Yeah. I really don't.
These guys aren't 12 years old where or like high school kids where it's like, you gotta fire these guys up. It's like, these guys are getting paid lots of money to go do their jobs. I don't know if a firing speech is going to change all that much.
Right. Some of them are like individual corporations. Some of them are... You're getting paid, I mean, relative to, like, real life, a lot of money in a short period of time, but they're trying like hell to just hang on in the league. I mean, that should be so much more motivation than what any dude in a backward, forward, sideways hat ever says to them. Right.
This is the NFL. A head coach's job is way more about scheming and making the right decisions in certain game situations rather than can you motivate your team? Like, there's part of that, obviously, but and we have seen it. You mentioned with Brian Callahan the time with the Bengals where you saw him lose it. Like, he said he was embarrassed the camera caught it, but last year he lit up Will Levis after that play against the Jets.
Oh yeah,
so
that was real,
right? That was
real human emotion, and everybody felt the exact same way as he did at that moment,
right? So you know that he does hold people accountable. Maybe not to the extent that a Mike Vrabel would, and you can argue whether you'd like him to do more of what Vrabel used to do. But I don't know if these front of room, opening scene of Hard Knock speeches that they always put there is actually that important to whether a team is successful or not.
Right. Again, go through the ages. I promise you. And again, we never got this. This is one of those things where you have to base some things on just what you saw in interviews and things like that. I guarantee you Bill Walsh never was like, oh, let's get out here and murder, murder, you know? I mean, he's a professorial, but they knew, like, this dude has the best offense going.
Yeah.
And he's a good dude, and I like working with him, so let's go. It's funny how this stuff gets so – like, anyone, the idea of, like, playing for a coach – I mean, I think even in college football, that's overblown, but at least there's, you know, in college football, it's like, hey, I mean, traditionally, it's like, you know, recruit someone when they're 16, 17, I'm going to take care of your son and all that stuff, and there's a relationship. There's still a lot more, and they're younger, and so I think stuff like that,
more impressionable
stuff like that can mean more. Yeah, once you get to this level, again, I'm not saying Callahan should be like, okay, guys, let's just get out to the field and all right, guys, all right, you guys are great. We're buddies, right? We're buddies. You my buddy? Okay, you know. But it was a forced thing. I'd be interested to see the one from a year ago, because I don't know. I don't remember them sending that out. Maybe they did. And if somebody has a comparison to see if this is like some intentional, like let's get it ramped up a little bit, baby.
Yeah, It was a little bit cringy. Like, it was a little cringy. It felt forced. But again, anybody taking anything from this and saying Callahan's ability to coach, like questioning it, that has nothing to do with his ability to coach. Like, I'm not worried. My stance on Brian Callahan doesn't change just because he wore a backwards hat or he kind of fake yelled at them and, you know, tried to be fiery on purpose. Like, it felt forced. It wasn't great, but let's see what they actually do on the field.
All right, your reaction to this, and we'll get into some of the stuff on the field from day one, too. When we come back, Robbie Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5 The Game, and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, we're talking about the fiery speeches of Brian Callahan, the fiery backward-headed speeches of Brian Callahan. On the YouTube chat, someone pointed out, as we talked about, the fact that, you know, he was very fiery, like you said, the fumble against the Jets. Lop says, yeah, the inflection seemed like ChatGPT highlighted those words, just sounded artificial. Jared says, I honestly think, not our Jared, different Jared, says, I honestly think it was genuine. He's just excited to be back. It was very similar to his post-game speech after the first win last year. Yeah, okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember
the Dolphins game. I don't really remember that. I remember they posted it, but I don't really remember anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I
remember he kind of cried in the presser.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right.
Which I don't remember the speech, though.
I thought that was genuine. I thought that all the stuff he said about Levis last year was genuine. I think in general, he's genuine. I think that this one was a little bit of like, I'm going to make my voice go like this. But, you know, whatever. I mean, when it comes down to it. I don't know the exact timing of that meeting. I mean, they posted it yesterday, but
I'm sure it was probably Tuesday when they reported. Because they said 47 days, so that would have been Tuesday.
Okay, so potentially that happened before the berserker presser.
It's a good point.
Or maybe.
Maybe they got all fired up and then dropped down after.
Or he was trying, he was going overboard because he heard that. Like, oh, God, they just told these guys they suck.
That is it.
What am I going to do?
It's possible.
I don't know. But regardless, again, anything he does until he proves that he can win football games on any sort of regular basis in the NFL is going to be nitpicked and probably the negative, tack will be taken by a lot of Titans fans. So, meanwhile, there was actually practice yesterday. Connor Newt, we talked to him too. I talked to him yesterday. Io Manor is the name that came up from him. Heard a lot of that yesterday. Io Manor making some plays and looking like a guy. Also, we were reading Jimmy Wyatt's report. You know, Tyjae Spears. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Tyjae Spears. Potentially having a bigger role, being more explosive this year. You know, obviously he has. Well, he lacks an ACL in one leg, but you know, Tyjae Spears being more of a factor is an interesting thought too. I don't know how much that moves the needle for this offense altogether, but. Take a little bit off Tony Pollard's play. I mean, last year, he just really sort of receded into the background.
Yeah, Io Manor's an interesting one because I think if he truly can be the wide receiver two on this team, that changes a lot. It makes the weapons feel a whole lot deeper because I think you know what you're going to get from Tyler Lockett. He's not going to be Tyler Lockett of 2018, 2019, but I think you're going to get probably 400 to 500 yards out of Tyler Lockett this year as long as he stays healthy. But if Io Manor can be a true wide receiver too behind Calvin Ridley, that makes you feel pretty good about who Cam Ward's throwing the football to. You'd think one of the tight ends. I saw people were saying Chig looked pretty good yesterday. At least I saw that on Twitter. I don't know how much I believe.
It's like someone like Chig is like, I mean, we know, I mean, he's not going to dramatically change who he is as a player, right? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You can improve, but like when someone says Chig looks good, he's looked good on the practice field before.
I don't think he's Chig's fine. Going to turn into a top 15 tight end.
Yeah.
I am surprised.
Maybe he does, but I don't. Yeah.
Looking that good after all the vacations he took this year. It is good to see.
Yeah, he must have found a gym at the Marriott.
But Tyjae Spears is an interesting one too, because I think after last year, everybody kind of expects Tony Pollard to get the lion's share of touches at running back. But in terms of explosiveness, Spears is definitely going to bring a little bit more of that. And Pollard's another year of tread on those tires is gone. Spears wasn't nearly as involved as I think a lot of people hoped he would be last year. So maybe if Spears takes the next step, that's another big weapon for Cam Ward out of the backfield, and you can split those carries a little bit more evenly between Pollard and Spears.
Yeah, look, anybody who can do anything, you know, if Chig's a little better, that's great. I know, you know, I guess apparently the rookie, Connor Helm, had a drop. You know, I mean, we're nitpicking drops. I mean, the quarterbacks in like the 7-on-7, it was like, you know, all their numbers were great, mostly completions. Apparently Gunnar Helm had a drop. It's not the end of the world. You don't want to keep hearing that over and over again. But But yeah, I mean, Spears and anybody who can do anything more for this offense, which obviously, has limitations, that'd be a good thing. Ed says, PK's 30th anniversary covering the team, his 30th training camp. No one brings a man a cake. I mean, he didn't say that the other day. 30th training camp. My God, he's old. Good for him. Well, he'll be in tomorrow, so maybe we can rustle up. I could probably get steal someone's food out of the fridge in the break room.
And, there you go.
Make a little makeshift cupcake for him or something like that. Other things yesterday. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You're not getting into pads yet. We are going to talk next hour. We're going to talk about the edge situation, which, there's some, I'd say, a couple of promising developments there. But, that's the thing. The first day of practice, it's like the energy is a big talk. It's also like it's really uneventful. It's always uneventful compared to some of the practices you get into.
Right.
Soon.
In a couple of weeks, I think you're going to be able to learn more about this team. Yesterday, I don't know if there's too much you can actually take and project it towards the season. Saturday's the one at the stadium. I mean, that one's usually not super in-depth either, but...
Well, I mean, hopefully, obviously Vrabel had the famous, let's just work on punts all day while the fans showed up. Good job, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think Callahan will be doing that. I mean, I'm sure they'll show off Cam Ward a little bit.
Yeah, if we're going to compare these coaches, I mean, as long as Brian Callahan never does that, he does have that on Vrabel, right? He actually has a practice that people would want to see, like people throwing and catching footballs and things like that, lining up in like offensive formation and running plays. I mean, that is an edge he has on Vrabel. So
that is true.
Just saying.
That is true. 9926 on the text line says, Spears isn't explosive, only two rushes of 12 or more yards last year. In terms of talent, I think he would be explosive. Last year he wasn't, but the hope is he will be. And we got another Jared with a very hot take. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, my plan would have been better at this point. Hire Dion, draft Travis Hunter, then draft Shador later on. I bet Shador wouldn't describe the practice as mid. Ward basically threw everybody under the bus. Not a fan of Ward. Wow.
Wow.
That's all it takes.
Did he throw everybody under the bus?
Got to hold people accountable, right?
Right. Isn't that – it's – I mean
– Did okay, so do we have that again?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think he threw anybody under the bus.
You have a scoreboard out there when you know wins or losses. How do you measure progress here during training camp?
Everything is always measured off a win or a loss. Practice is 80 plays a day. That's a whole game. We were mid in practice today offensively. But, it's the first day. You get better every day. We just got to, try and just repeat, and not stay the same. Just try to get better.
I mean, there's nobody being thrown under the bus there whatsoever. He said we.
Offensively,
we were mid. I mean, that starts with him. I think he gets that. So I don't. Hey, look. First of all, I don't hate your whole. Saying we'd be having a lot more fun right now. Boy, would it be interesting as hell around here. But anybody who right now, man, I think you're really reaching to try to nitpick like whatever cameo. Let's watch him play. He's not going to immediately be the leader of the team, but I think he's got a good approach.
I said this last week before training camp that anybody who wanted Cam Ward is going to show off his victories and brush off anything that's bad. And anybody who didn't want Ward and wanted them to trade the pick or, in this case, take Colorado's program and move it to Nashville, they're going to, every time that Ward does something they don't like, they're going to say, oh, they should have traded the pick. It's going to keep happening all through training camp.
Yeah, I agree. I agree in general. I think that there are still a lot of people who probably around draft time were like, no, and now they've like, okay, we got them, so let's talk. You know what I mean? I think there's still a fair amount of fans who go that route, but yes, it won't be like Levis. I mean, with Levis, especially like some Vols fans who hated his guts and said he sucked. And look, he ended up not being good enough, so. But like there was just always that underlying thing with him. But, yeah, some people, you're right, are just going to nitpick. When we come back, best and worst in sports, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes!
Unbelievable. He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of week again, best and worst in sports. I mean, I probably should be hospitable with Jake in for Robbie and let him go first, but I like to go first. Robbie lets me go
first,
and then I just steal like the obvious ones. And I am going to go obvious, and I'm going to do one I love, which is always like, you know, the duality of sports, the best and the worst in one thing. The best is that we have NFL training camp this week. Very exciting. We got news going all over the place. Practices, press conferences, apparel, criticisms, you know, it's all out there. The worst is that, like, it takes about 5 minutes to be bored immediately again and be like, oh, God, okay, how about preseason games? And then you get to those and you're like, oh, God, that's worth about
no one's playing anymore. Yeah,
20 minutes of watching. My God, what is it, 47 days? Did you say 47 days? Does that mean we're at 45 days now?
We are at 45 now.
Okay, 45 days. But still, I'm going to go, if you have to take the best and the worst right there, there is a whiff of football. There is football news being made. So overall, it's a positive. There you go.
That is true. It is. We look forward to having training camp to talk about, and then it's just like, all right, well, they practiced for an hour and a half and really did nothing out there. But it is good. Football is getting closer. My best, I got to give Scotty Scheffler credit. I know we did it on Monday, but that was a dominant performance at the Open. He is, for the last two full seasons, he has been pretty much unstoppable. I mean, you look, he's one of the players, the Olympic gold medal, the Masters, the Open. And did he win the Tour Championship last year or something like that too? Like,
he's missing one, yeah.
He is been unstoppable, and that was probably the most dominant of his major wins so far, at least that I can remember. So give credit to Scotty Scheffler. My worst is from ACC kickoff. Thomas Castellanos, the former Boston College quarterback, now at Florida State. Earlier this offseason, he basically predicted that Florida State would beat Alabama in week one. And this week, he doubled down. He doubled down again. Thomas Castellanos has basically said, Alabama, look out. Florida State, they may have gone 2-10 last year, but they're coming for the Crimson Tide. So that I don't think that's going to happen. I think Alabama will win that game pretty easily down in Tallahassee later this year.
Right. I mean, I could make a case for that as a best. It's like, good for you, man.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to be right, but
well, I mean,
good for him. You know, he
was supposed to be pretty good last year at BC, and I believe he quit on the team about three quarters of the way through the year.
Well, Bill O'Brien benched him, and then he bailed. He showed some talent. He had some
right.
good performances.
He's got some talent, but I don't know if before your first game when FSU just went 2-10 that you should be calling out the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, you're next, Alabama. That sounds like a Vanderbilt player from about 8 years ago. Ian Safar, your best and worst.
Yeah, I also put Scheffler down just to represent Robbie. I figured he would probably
there you go.
Say
lots
that
of golf for you, Robbie. I hope you're listening.
Yeah,
listen to all the golf.
He would have brought that up, so I just wanted to make sure. Thank you, Jake, for bringing that up. And I'll throw Nashville SC back in there. Getting another dub, second now in the Eastern Conference. So another match, San Diego on Friday night after the All-Star festivities last night. I did not watch, but so cool there. Worst, I got a couple here. Levis injury, don't like that. Shoulder injury, not like we were expecting much of an impact from Levis or anything, but the whole situation did not sound
great. Are you saying he has the heart of a loser?
I won't go that far. Yeah. But, yeah, also a funny worst. How about this Rhett Lashley, SMU? You seen these comments?
Yes.
When you said ACC,
would have been better.
Him and Feinbaum going at it, saying the ACC depth is just as good as the SEC depth, something like that.
Oh, it's
pretty good.
I mean, it's amazing.
I think we'll find out August 31st in Atlanta that Rhett Lashley is wrong when South Carolina beats the brakes off my Hokies at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Your boy Paul was not too Feinbaum, that is, not too happy with the whole situation, Joe.
Yeah, well, Paul, you don't mess with the SEC, you're going to get Paul upset. But, yeah, some of the stuff that talking season, these coaches, they all overinflate, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, we know they all overinflate.
It's all about selling your team, your conference.
But, like, yeah, I'm trying to find – do you have those? What he said is actually hilarious.
Not exactly, but something I would call SEC top heavy, something like that.
Like he, like the facts that he used. Someone torched him, and I need to. I will find it before the end of the show because someone wrote a comment about this and absolutely skewered him, which I read. I think it might have been Zach Barnett. I'll figure it out, but.
Something the SEC has had the same six schools win the championship since 1964. Not a single one has been different. That's top heavy to me. That's not depth.
Yeah. That's yes. That is among the things he said. That was like, dude, are you serious? Do you think anyone will actually believe you? It was actually Casa Grande, who we like to call Big House, from AL.com. Let's see, the dumbest thing they said. It was basically a column about how Lashley he made some clown jokes in here, but yeah, I mean, like let's talk about the facts. Yeah, there's not a lot of easy wins on the schedule. Blah blah blah. Coaches all say that about their conference, right? Meanwhile, my computer is gone, dead. We will figure it out at some point. I can't get in the text line now. My computer
I was told from Adam Vingan this week that you two were supposed to meet up and work on the whole new, brand new MacBook computer you have and have never used before.
Well, I've used it. I mean, I have to like turn it on from time to time and like, so like I have it kind of set up.
He was going
to
meet with you.
Well, we met. Okay. We met.
Tutorial, and everything.
And my password was wrong. And so we just sat there and drank coffee. So, yes. Yeah. I'm trying to make the train. I mean, like, this is my middle child's junior high or middle school computer that I had to commandeer from him after my laptop was stolen in Knoxville when someone broke into my car in Knoxville and took all my stuff when I was at dinner. So, yeah, this is old and dying and right now. Google Chrome not responding. I'd like to read this column about Rhett Lashley. Or be on the text line or anything like that. And, I mean, I guess, you know, people used to do radio shows without having a bunch of crap in front of them, right?
Yes, they did.
That's true.
Rely on your own wits.
Yeah, we didn't have smartphones, you know.
Computers,
back in the day, we were just fine.
Just sit there reading the newspaper, right? Reading the newspaper. And so when we come back from that bleep show, we're going to get back into the Titans. And a little bit of positivity, I would say, potentially, at one of the most troubling and problematic positions for the Titans. We're trying to find some sunshine for you, Titans fans. Robbie and Rexhard, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.